Mark chapter 15 from verse 39. And when the centurion, which stood over against him, saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, gave up the spirit, he said, truly this man was the Son of God. There were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the Less, and of Joses, and Salome, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. And now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honourable counsellor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate, and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marvelled if he were already dead. And calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And he bought fine linen, and took him down, and wrapped him in the linen, and laid him in a sepulchre, which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulchre. And Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of Joses, beheld where he was laid. May the Lord bless that reading of his word to us tonight. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Speak to us, we pray. Be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. And Jesus had just died. And when the centurion, watching it from opposite him, when he saw that, and he'd heard what Jesus had said, how he'd cried out and given up the ghost, when he saw that he'd cried out and given up the ghost, given up the spirit, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. What it actually says is that when he saw that he so cried out and expired, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. Mm. The man had no doubt observed Jesus from the moment the soldiers had taken him into custody. They took him into the common hall, or the judgment hall. They took him. And the soldiers, of course, had treated Jesus badly. The centurion, no doubt, had been with these soldiers and had seen Jesus being scourged. Pilate had Jesus scourged before he was there to be crucified. And then the soldiers took him. And do you remember that little phrase that was used, that the soldiers were there with Jesus and the whole band came together? It was all of them. And he was treated so badly by them. They mocked him, they clothed him in purple, claimed he was a king, so they clothed him in purple. They put a crown of thorns upon his head. They were mocking. Mm. And no doubt the centurion had seen all this.
Yes.
Did nothing about it at the time, but he saw all this going on. Hail, King of the Jews! Smote him with a reed. Yes. Spat on him.
Right.
And mockingly bowed the knee as if in worship. I don't know. Maybe the centurion had a laugh or two. We don't know. But certainly he'd seen his soldiers doing this.
Yes.
And after they'd finished with all their mockery and the purple robe and things, they put him in his own clothes again and led him out. And Jesus trod that way with the cross. We know that Simon of the Cyrenian was compelled to carry the cross behind Jesus. Yes. But Jesus trod that way. And the crowds were there. Some of them jeered. Some of them no doubt came in adoration and worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they got to Golgotha's Hill, at about, well, we like to make it precise, don't we? 9 a.m. It says the third hour. You see, they weren't so precise those days in terms of seconds and minutes.
No.
The first hour was, we like to say, it was 6 o'clock. This is the Jewish estimation of time.
Yeah.
The day starts at 6 o'clock. But the first hour is from 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock. The second hour is from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock. The third hour is from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. So in that slot,
yes,
Jesus was crucified. We like to think in terms of 9 a.m. precisely. No, they didn't have that. And it's good to bear that in mind. And then the centurion must have witnessed the attitude of all the chief priests and the scribes mocking him. Mocking him. Saved others, couldn't save himself. If you're the Son of God, come off the cross. And all that abuse that Jesus took. And you know, in all these things, when we're reading the scriptures, when he's before Pilate and when he's with these mocking him, I know there is conversation between Pilate, but with the high priest and so on, Jesus doesn't really answer anything. Because he's not resisting.
That's right.
He's treading the pathway to the cross.
Yes.
He's not going to try to get off the hook, as it were. He's treading that pathway to the cross. And the centurion has no doubt observed all this. You see, we've got to bear in mind that this man, this centurion, had no doubt been at many crucifixions. The Romans crucified hundreds of criminals.
Amen. Yeah, did.
And no doubt the centurion had seen men who, and was used to hearing them cursing and venomous hatred being spewed out as they died in agony on the cross. Mm-hmm. But this man was different.
Yes.
This is Jesus. Jesus trod that pathway willingly to the cross. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. He's going to that cross to save you and me.
Yes.
To save the lost. And no doubt the centurion noted in his mind, this man is different. There is no retaliation here. There is no attempt to get away. There is no struggle. There's no cursing. There's no venomous hatred. And no doubt he heard what's recorded in the Bible. We don't know how many things Jesus said when he was on the cross, but we know that the Bible records 7 of them.
Yes.
And these are important. In Luke's Gospel 23, we read that as they're nailing him to the cross, and the centurion must have heard this because he's supervising that crucifixion, and Jesus prays for these soldiers. He prays for those who have delivered him. He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Yes.
Whoever prayed a prayer like that before? Whoever said such words when they were being crucified? It was always vileness. It was always venomous hatred. It was always cursing and swearing. But with Jesus,
amen,
there was something different.
Yeah.
Father, forgive them. What love can we take in our own minds and in our own hearts? What love that is.
Right.
Boy, we get annoyed when somebody accuses us of something.
Yeah.
Well, I speak for myself. But Jesus is praying for these men who are nailing him to the cross and those who had brought him to that place.
That's right.
Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then also in Luke's Gospel, there are the two thieves. In the other Gospels, in Mark's Gospel, in fact, it says that they also had words of accusation. They also were haranguing Jesus.
Yeah.
But in Luke's Gospel, one comes to a place of repentance.
Yes.
Maybe he too had listened to the words of Jesus. Father, forgive them. And he says to the other fellow, hey, stop going on at him like that. This man's done nothing wrong. We're dying for what we've done. This man has done nothing wrong.
Yes.
And he says to the Lord, remember me when you come to your kingdom. And Jesus said, verily, I say unto you, today you shall be with me in paradise.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. What about that man's past? All the vile things he's done. Forgiven.
This day.
Hallelujah. Forgiven. Mm-hmm. The man comes and asks in simple faith.
Yes.
And there's that forgiveness again.
Yes.
And Jesus said, you'll be with me in paradise. Oh, and if that man can receive salvation from the Lord, who is there in this area of Pitsea? Who is there in Britain today? Who is there that cannot receive the forgiveness and the salvation of God?
Amen.
And the centurion is listening to these words. He's spoken so far. Words of forgiveness. Words of welcome to my kingdom. You'll be with me today in paradise. And then such loving care as he looks down from the cross and there's John. And there's his mother Mary. And he says to Mary, behold your son. And he says to John, behold your mother. Mm-hmm. He's making provision now for his mother to be cared for.
Right.
What man has the centurion ever seen that's taken all these steps from the cross?
Yes.
Forgiveness. Welcoming into my kingdom. And making sure that his mother is cared for when he's died. Then in John's Gospel, that's in John's Gospel 2, But in John's Gospel again, that moment from the cross when his humanity is manifested. There's no supernatural intervention here.
No, he's taken
to take away his pain and his suffering. He suffers as the man, Christ Jesus.
Right.
He suffered the death of the cross. There were no painkillers. There was no divine intervention to stop the pain and the suffering, to stop the bleeding. He suffered for us on the cross, and he cries out from the cross, "I thirst!" The centurion is looking at all this, taking it all in.
Yes.
And then there's that cry of the ninth hour. And the ninth hour is from 2 o'clock in the afternoon to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And in the ninth hour, Jesus cries out according to Mark 15:34. It was in last week's reading. He calls out, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani? My God, why have you forsaken me?" It's a heart-rending cry. And the centurion must have recognised in that cry that there had been that relationship between Father and Son.
Yeah.
There had been a relationship between the Lord Jesus Christ and his Heavenly Father. And now there's that separation. That separation which was caused by our sin, which he bore for us upon the cross of Calvary. The Father could not look upon. The centurion is looking at all this. And then, John 19:30, then comes that wonderful cry. I can imagine there is a different expression on the face of Jesus from the one that cried out, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani?" Now there is a cry of victory. Whoever cried a cry of victory when they were about to die from that terrible death penalty of crucifixion? And he cried out from that cross, "It is accomplished." Sometimes it's just referred to as he cried with a loud voice. But we get the reference there in John 19:30.
Yes.
He cried out, "It is finished, it is accomplished, it is done. I've done the work, it's completed."
Yes.
Hallelujah. I believe that centurion got the grasp of it. He wasn't saying, "My life is over, it's done for." He was saying, "I've accomplished what I've come to do."
Mm-hmm.
And then in Luke's Gospel 23, the final words, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." He yielded up the spirit. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
He died for us. And the centurion, watching that, said these words. Luke records the words that he spoke. I presume, therefore, he said a number of things. Luke records what he said. Luke says this: "The centurion glorified God." The centurion glorified God, saying, "Certainly, this is a righteous man."
Yes.
He could have no other explanation. From all the other people he'd seen crucified and the way they behaved, this man was different.
He's righteous, yeah.
This man is a righteous man. And then in Mark's Gospel, "Truly, this man was the Son of God."
Amen.
I hope he went on to find out that it wasn't just a was, it's an is. This man is the Son of God. You see, Jesus died in triumph. And I believe that centurion saw the love and the forgiveness and the caring and the compassion that came from Jesus and could only account for it that this man must be who he says he is. I wonder whether we'll see the centurion in glory. The women were there. They were looking on afar off. And he gives some of the names: Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the Less and of Joses, and Salome. And at the end it says, "Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Joseph, beheld where he was laid." They were there. Many other women were there from Galilee. They followed him. Who's going to be first at the tomb? The women saw where he was laid. And when others doubted, some of these knew the truth later on, when Jesus was risen. So we come to verse 42. When the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath. Now bear in mind that it's at the ninth hour that Jesus dies. That's between 2 and 3 o'clock in the afternoon, because the ninth hour is the whole hour. And it goes from 2 to 3. So there's still quite a bit of the day left. We're talking about springtime. There's still quite a bit of the day left. And it was now the preparation. That's the day before the Sabbath, the preparation day. So they want to get Jesus buried while it's still daytime. He's going to be put in that grave while it's still day.
Mm-hmm.
But what do we mean by the Sabbath? The following day was a Sabbath. Joseph of Arimathea was prepared to get Jesus from the cross and buried because it was the Sabbath day coming. Verse 43 says that. He was waiting for the kingdom of God and he went in boldly to Pilate and crave the body of Jesus. But what sort of Sabbath? You see, we get clarification in John's Gospel, chapter 19.
Yeah.
If you go to John chapter 19, we'll avoid the wrong turnings that so many take today. In John 19 and verse 14, it says, well, verse 13 says, Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth, sat him down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover. It was the preparation of the Passover. That was the Sabbath day.
Yeah.
It was the Passover.
Yeah.
John 19 and verse 31. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate and that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. And then in John 18, verse 21, verse 28 rather, John 18 and verse 28, then they led Jesus from Caiaphas, we're going back in time now, then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. It was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. It's Passover that was coming. It's Passover that was coming. It was still to come.
Yes.
It was now the next day, as it were, daytime. It was the same day in Jewish terms, but it was the daylight now. And they wouldn't go to the judgment because they wanted to eat the Passover. When were they going to eat the Passover? In the evening. That's when the Passover was eaten.
Yes.
The evening that's still to come. Also something, but didn't Jesus celebrate the Passover with his disciples? Yes, he did. He had a Passover meal with them. There were debates at the time, actually, of when the 14th of Nisan fell. But Jesus celebrated the Passover meal with them beforehand. It was a day early, or a night early. He wanted to bring home to his disciples that what he was doing was a fulfilment of the Old Testament typology of the Passover lamb at the first Passover that was slain, and the blood applied to the doorposts and the lintels. And God says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you.
Yes.
And he's saying, this bread is my body.
Yeah.
Not literally his body, because he was still in it.
Yeah.
This wine is my blood, not literally his blood, because he's still got the blood in his veins.
Yes.
He's saying, this is in the sense of, this stands for. This stands for, this is my body, this is my blood. And so he celebrated that Passover meal with his disciples. There was an explanation going on. It becomes clear that he's going to be betrayed, he's going to be crucified. And it means that that when the next day came, well, the Passover meal he was celebrating with his disciples on that day itself, because we've got to keep in mind the Jewish thing of the night is the beginning of the day, and the day, daylight hours, are at the end of it. So when the daylight hours were to come, having celebrated that Passover meal at the beginning of the day with his disciples at the night time, when the daylight was come, then Jesus was going to be slain, and he was going to be slain at the very time that the Passover lambs were slain. So the picture is there. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He's going to be slain when the Passover lambs are slain.
Yes, definitely.
So Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. So there were two Sabbaths. There was the Sabbath of Passover. So Thursday must have been the fifth day of the week in Jewish reckoning. Friday the sixth, and Saturday the seventh. The seventh day Sabbath. In Mark 16, in verse 1, and I'll come back to this a bit later on, but Mark 16, verse 1, Mark says, and when the Sabbath was over, when the Sabbath was passed. Mark is talking about the seventh day Sabbath. When that Sabbath is passed, had passed, it's in the singular. But there were two Sabbaths. And this is ignored, but it's in the Bible and you can't alter it. In Matthew 28 and verse 1, in Matthew 28 and verse 1, it says, in the end of the Sabbath, which is a mistranslation, it must be a deliberate mistranslation. You can't possibly translate it like that, because in Greek it is very clearly plural. It says, opse de sabbaton. Sabbaton is a genitive plural. In other words, after the Sabbaths, plural.
Yes.
actually says it.
In the first day of the week came. So the Sabbath of Passover was on Thursday night. And Friday followed. And Jesus
was crucified on the Thursday.
So he was arrested before that. On the Thursday, he was crucified. He was in the tomb Thursday night. Okay. The next day was Passover, but actually the Passover began Thursday night.
The problem is dealing with days. Days as we know them, as the Romans knew them, began at midnight and went through to the next midnight. The days as Jewish people saw them started at 6 o'clock in the evening.
Yeah.
Well, sunset, literally, in the evening, and then went round to the next sunset the next day. So you've got night, day. Night, day.
So when Jesus was put in the tomb on Thursday, and then he was there during the night, day, night. That was the Passover Sabbath, which carried on into Friday, daytime. And then Friday night, you've got the seventh day of Sabbath beginning, and that goes on to Saturday daytime, which is the seventh day of the week. And then Saturday night is still in the tomb, but because Saturday night is not the seventh day of the week, because we think of Saturday as the seventh day of the week, because Saturday night in the Jewish reckoning is not, it's already the next day, it's the first day of the week. And by the time daytime comes, he's already risen. So he's been in there day, night, day, night, day, night. And when the daytime comes on the first day of the week, the darkness was first day of the week, but when the daytime comes, he's risen.
Gone.
So he's put in the tomb Thursday, and by Sunday, daylight, he's already risen. He's been in there 3 days and three nights. What we've got is actually the fulfillment of Matthew 12 and verse 40, where Jesus said, "You're going to be shown a sign, you doubters. You're going to be shown a sign."
Jonah.
As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days, three nights in the heart of earth. Mm-hmm. Now, that goes the other way round from the Jewish understanding, that it's nighttime starts and then day. Night is out, but he says 3 days, see, because he was in the tomb on the Thursday when it was still daylight.
That's right.
Then the night came for what was the next day in Jewish reckoning, and so on. So when you look at it in the scripture, he was in the tomb 3 days and three nights.
If you go by the traditional Roman Catholic version, which we've inherited, of Good Friday, you've got 2 days and two nights. It doesn't square with the scripture. You've got 2 days and two nights. They say, Friday's the first day, Saturday's the second day, Sunday's the third day, and on the third day he rose again. You're counting wrongly.
I'm trying to look for the verse. I'll come to it in a minute.
It's in Luke 24, I think it is, where the two are on the Emmaus Road and they're talking with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And they don't know it's the Lord. And he's asking them what's going on. They said, "Well, haven't you heard? Haven't you heard?" And they tell him about the Lord. We hoped it would be he that would deliver his people. And they say, this is the third day since.
Yes.
You've got to understand these first, second and third days as since.
Yes.
So Jesus was crucified on Thursday, but that's not the first day since these things happened. That's when it happened. Friday, daytime, Friday daytime, is the first day since these things happened. Saturday is the second day since these things happened. Sunday is the third day since these things happened. The Bible reckoning is the third day since.
Yeah.
Not Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Friday the first day when it happened, second, third. No, the first day since. So if you do the traditional Roman Catholic thing, he was crucified on Friday. Saturday was the first day since it happened. And Sunday was the second day since it happened. But there's no third day.
Now we come to Joseph of Arimathea. Joseph of Arimathea. Matthew, all four Gospels speak about him. Matthew says he was a rich man who himself was a disciple of Jesus. And he went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. For a rich man and a man of standing, this was something really bold to do for him. And he begged the body of Jesus. He humbled himself so that Jesus would not remain on the cross. Mark's Gospel says he was an honourable counsellor which waited on the kingdom And he went in boldly to Pilate and craved the body. Luke says he was a counsellor, a good man, and a just man. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He also himself waited for the kingdom of God. And John says, this man, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews. But he was a good man. He was a good man. He went and begged the body of Jesus from Pilate. And Pilate himself didn't even know that Jesus had died. It would have been early in the afternoon, you see. The ninth hour, as I say, between 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock. But the centurion confirmed it. Yes, he's dead. When we came, you know, when the legs were broken, we came to him. He was soldier stuck a spear in his side.
Blood and mortar, that's right.
And this man bought fine linen, the best for Jesus. He bought fine linen. He took him down from the cross. He wrapped him in the linen, laid him in the sepulchre, hewn out of the rock, and rolled a stone over the door. And the two Marys observed where Jesus had been put. They knew where to go. There was no mistaking the tomb. The later stories that, oh, they've got mixed up, they didn't go to the right tomb. They knew, they saw where Jesus was. They weren't going to forget. And Joseph ensured, by his actions, that the prophecy of Jesus, that he would be in the tomb 3 days and three nights, was fulfilled. Left to others, Jesus would have stayed there. Romans didn't usually take their prisoners down from the crosses. They left them there. Passers-by would see, that's what you get if you disobey the law. But this man intervened. And the prophecy of Jesus, I'll be in the tomb 3 days, in the heart of earth, 3 days and three nights. Everything works together, you see. And what God says, and what the Lord says, comes to be. So here we are, at the end of Mark chapter 15. All things have come about, ready for the fulfilment of Jesus' promise and prophecy that he would rise again, and that he would be in that tomb 3 days and three nights. And the women knew where he was. Amen.